Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, 17th chapter, text number 1. Sri Suka Uvacha Ityukta Sadati Rajan Swabhartra Kashyapena Vai Anvatishtad Bratang Idang Dvadasaham Atandrita Sri Suka Uvacha. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, Iti, thus, Ukta, being advised, Sa, that lady, Aditi, Aditi, Rajan, O king, Swabhartra, by her husband, Kashyapena, Kashyapamuni, Vai, indeed, Anu, similarly, Atishtat, executed, Pratamidam, this Payavrata ritualistic ceremony, Dvadasa Aham, for 12 days, Atandrita, without any laziness. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sukadeva Goswami said, O King, after Aditi was thus advised by her husband, Kashyapa Muni, she strictly followed his instructions without laziness, and in this way performed the Payavrata ritualistic ceremony. Please repeat. Sukadeva Goswami said, O King, after Aditi was thus advised by her husband, Kashyapa Muni, she strictly followed his instructions without laziness, and in this way performed the Payavrata ritualistic ceremony. Purport. For advancement in anything, especially in spiritual life, one must strictly follow the bona fide instructions of the teacher. Aditi did this. She strictly followed the instructions of her husband and guru, as confirmed in the Vedic injunctions, Yasya Devi Para Bhaktir Yata Deve Tata Guru. One should have complete faith in the guru, who helps the disciple make progress in spiritual life. As soon as the disciple thinks independently, not caring for the instructions of the spiritual master, he is a failure. Yasya prasadan nagati kutopi. Aditi very strictly followed the instructions of her husband and spiritual master, and thus she was successful. Omagana tamarandasya garanjana shvakaya chaksurma taminatasmai shigaravedamaha. Mukam karoti vachalam pangu mangayate gurum yat kipatamaham bande shigurum deetaram. This is a very nice verse, clearly explained, no ambiguity. There's an aphorism, minimum words, maximum effect. This is very simple. We don't need to have unnecessary word jugglery. Clear and concise should be our attempt at all interactions, whether amongst our God brothers, God sisters, the public, etc. We have a duty that to present things as they are, following in the footsteps of our predecessor acharyas, especially Srila Prabhupada. Everything is as it is. This is clear. And when we observe this stricture, we find all success. So we're very fortunate that in such a situation, in the Holy Dham, in the land of Sri Krishna, in the place where Srila Prabhupada is eternally residing, that we can assemble together, none different than the sages at Naimisharanya, to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a very special situation. But it is one that is going on all over the world, simultaneously. As Srila Prabhupada used to comment, now it is 7 o'clock here, someplace else it is 7 o'clock there, and in this way, it's like Nitya Lila. Bhagavatam is being constantly propagated under the auspices of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness. So this alone is having a very ameliorating effect on the troubled population of the globe. We don't necessarily see it, especially if we're too much concentrating on the in-the-moment 24-hour news cycle where everything is bad news. Every time you look at your phone, some disaster, some politics, some war, some this. But this is not the real news. The real news is what is going on across the globe in an effort to stem the tide of Kali Yuga. So that requires a very concerted effort. The strength of many as opposed to the strength of one. So this is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So Prabhupada declared, actually Guru Kripa Maharaj was explaining to me one time, very succinctly. He was a little disturbed. So he went to see Srila Prabhupada. And he said, Prabhupada, I don't like my godbrothers. Nothing new for Maharaj. Says, and I don't like ISKCON. Said, I only like you. So Prabhupada turned to him and said, but I am ISKCON. You don't like me? So in this way, he was defeated. So this is our situation sometimes if we become too involved in the Gramyakata. You know, even amongst devotees, sometimes there's a tendency to be preoccupied with, oh, he said, she said, they said. This is all a distraction. This is not our business. So many distractions will be there. This is Maya's expert, how can you say, occupation. How to find out where everyone's weakness. And once having found that out, because just like an investigator, he goes and he interviews someone, and he becomes very friendly. And in this way, he extracts information, because everyone wants a friend. So Maya is also in the mind, in the ear, saying, oh, I am your best friend. I can arrange so many nice things for you. Just see, here is this nice restaurant. It has all nonsense things in it. There is nothing sattvic, but you will like it. So she's very expert. Everywhere we go, this allurement is there. But for the devotee, he's Vyavasayamika Buddhi Ekeha Kuru Nandana. This is his motto. He has one pointed attention. Just like when you're on the target range, you have a certain, what they call, sight picture. You align the sights in a certain way, and then you squeeze the trigger, and it hits the bullseye. So you cannot be distracted. You cannot be looking here. You cannot be looking there. It requires one-pointed attention. This is a simple analogy, but anyone can understand. If you're not aiming at the target, then you won't hit the target. In military parlance, it's called aim small, miss small. So you have to really focus. So this is achieved by associating with the devotees. Because the devotees are so compassionate. If you start to talk nonsense to them, they'll say, "Huh, what is this? Why are you speaking nonsense? We only want to hear about Krishna. We only want to hear about the activities related to Krishna. This is not some artificial thing. We're talking about Sankirtan, we're talking about book distribution, we're talking about Rath Yatra, we're talking about the boat festival. We have so many things we can speak about." Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, you can have unlimited volumes of content. There is so much, you cannot, there's not enough paper in the world to print all the activities of the spiritual realm. But somehow or other, we're distracted. But Aditi, she listened very carefully because she had a goal in mind. Her goal was to restore to what she felt was the rightful place for her sons, the demigods, who had been dethroned. This is the nature of the material world. Someone is up, someone is down. And the next day it's reversed. So we see this everywhere. So she was very fixed. So she heard very carefully. Of course, her husband had to ask her many things. What's wrong? He came back. He could immediately understand something's wrong in the ashram. The mood was not there. The atmosphere was not there. The environment was not there. Something was disturbed. So like an investigator, he asked a few questions. What is wrong, my dear wife? Are you not taking care of the visitors, the guests? The very important function of the household, which can lead to ruin. And he basically explained as much. And she responded, no, we're doing all that. Everything is there. We're doing all our religious duties. But you have to be careful when someone says, but. But I want my sons back in their rightful place. So he could understand. I need to come up with some solution. The husband's duty. But basically, he gave her the means to achieve the goal. He didn't do it for her. So this is an important point. He could have done it like this. He's Kashyapa Muni. What can he do? But he gave her the means to do it because she wanted to do it. Mother is very attached to the sons. This is an axiomatic fact. It goes without saying. So all in all, everything was ultimately achieved. But Prabhupada, what is his emphasis in the purport is that one has to strictly follow the instructions of the spiritual master. So here it is, the husband and wife. He is the pati guru. He is the husband. But at the same time, the analogy, the example is that we are also married to the guru. Just like a chaste wife, we don't seek shelter any other place. We don't go here and there like lightning from cloud to cloud or bees from flower to flower. No, we're very strict. We have faith. Yasya Devi Parabhaktir Yata Deve Tathaguru. We have implicit faith. I don't require any other source of information. You know, by and by there may be some. Just like Prabhupada said, that there is no injunction against hearing ordinary news. And occasionally Prabhupada would ask one of the devotees, disciples, to bring a newspaper just so he could review what's going on in the material world. He was actually very insightful. Anyone who had any association with Srila Prabhupada knew. It's not a question that he was oblivious to what was going on in the world. No. He knew exactly what was happening intimately by his extraordinary, insightful analysis. So we are very fortunate that Prabhupada put in these books whatever we need. That has to be part of this implicit faith. Because sometimes there's attraction also like that. In Vrindavan in the old days, still must be going on, they used to have this Rasiya and Rasalila during the rainy season. But those who lived here all year round, they put up these very nice mandaps and they have these players and there's this drama. And so devotees had a tendency to kind of wander off in the evening because these things are held in the evening. But Prabhupada was not very pleased with that. He said, why are they going? Why are they going? Here we have the beautiful Sayan Artik, Sundar Artik. We have Bhagavad Gita class, morning, you know, evening. So why are they going there? So then it became a rule. You cannot go there. So that was, because there's so much, it's called insidious. It's not externally obvious what that type of association can do immediately. Just like when you come in contact with some infected person, you don't immediately manifest all the symptoms of tuberculosis. It takes some time. But the infection is there. You have contracted it. Now you have to fight it, or the disease will overtake you. So you have to be inoculated by sincerely chanting. I mean, what are we chanting? My dear Lord, my dear energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. So if I'm going outside, where is my service? If I am an employee, I am, Prabhupada gives this analogy of the, in Calcutta, there's one Dalhousie Square, very famous. And all the peons gather there. And what do? They sleep. But what are they supposed to be doing? They're supposed to be going from office to office delivering messages. Because in those days there was no internet, hardly any telephone. So they had inter-office courier. So the person would go, you'd have a long list, you'd have to go to so many people, deliver something, get their signature. But this noker, this servant, he's thinking that it is my profit, I am being paid, let me go to Dalhousie Square and sleep. And then in the afternoon come back, nothing was done. And the master says, why haven't you done? Oh, he wasn't available, he was not there. So he was sleeping. So we should not be like this, that let me do my minimum service and then run away. This is cheating. This cheating mentality cannot serve you properly. We have to be completely fixed that I am a servant of Srila Prabhupada. I have no other business than to serve him. And then automatically everything is adjusted. We can see that. And with that consciousness, this whole movement has grown. Who can understand? Even Prabhupada said after 10 years, when he came back for the opening, the first big Mayapur festival, said, I went to your country with 40 rupees, and I have come back with 40 crore. 10 years' time. Who could do this? Said, because I had faith in my spiritual master in Krishna. These two things only. And everywhere we read in Srila Prabhupada's life, that is the example. When he had no money to print back to Godhead, and like a pauper, he was wandering from Vrindavan to Delhi or from Chandni Chowk to the printer with nothing but tattered cloth and no money. And he had to heavy out the printer. No, you must print this back to Godhead. And the printer's saying, but how can I print? You're not giving me any money. Prabhupada was so forceful. Why? Because he knew that this was Krishna's plan. He knew this is what Krishna wanted him to do. So we also have to be similarly convinced that this is what Krishna wants us to do, to propagate this Krishna consciousness movement, to spread the chanting of the holy name everywhere, all over, with Srila Prabhupada's books, of course. And then in this way, we'll continue to see the success that Srila Prabhupada had in 10 years. We can't really say that we have been as successful as him. Now it is 50 years. So in 10 years, what he did, we have not quite achieved in 40 years since. But we have time. We have time. But we should not make that as an excuse. For some of us, we don't have much time. And every time we turn around, there's some eulogy, an obituary, that such and such God brother or such and such God sister has gone. So numbers are dwindling. So we feel the urgency that the torch has to be passed on. And of course, we're praying that you will take it the way that Srila Prabhupada gave it to us, with the utmost sincerity and urgency. Just as Aditi, she followed the instructions to the letter. And interesting thing is, of course, the Lord manifests in the heart of Kashyapa. So she was doing the austerity, but the Lord manifests in Kashyapa's heart. Because there are some need in that respect, and when you read further you can understand. But this is a very interesting point of information. So Krishna is already in the heart, but he revealed himself to Kashyapa. So that is a signal that we should also begin to ask questions. And through the questions, perhaps there'll be additional elaboration. Yes, Prabhu.
Krishna says in the fourth chapter that...
Of Bhagavad Gita.
Okay. That doing a sacrifice of knowledge is better than doing one without. So in terms of trying to follow the orders of the spiritual master, can you talk about falling blindly versus falling in knowledge?
Prabhupada answered that question for us. He said, never surrender your intelligence. What was the question? Any questions?
Okay. You know, we're not engaged in gossip, this and that, this, you know, who did what, and all that. You know, this devotee fell down. Oh, weird. Okay. But then again, are we supposed to slap a happy face on everything? Everything's fine, and we never, like you said, don't surrender intelligence. So what is that balance?
Part of that faith in the spiritual master Krishna and their empowered representatives. As that there is a, how can you, a solution. And that solution is first our immediate authorities. Why are they in that position? Because they've accepted the responsibility to take care of the day-to-day functions of our International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It is a burden of love, not without difficulty. But we're here to serve you, just like our good friend Pragosh in Dandavat's, his paper, it says, we fall over to serve you. See? So that is our. So if someone has a question, actually, our godbrother Urjaspat, also departed, he had a simple retort. We did a bhakti program in New York City for many years. And people, of course, come up. A bhakti program is a very challenging service. And people are always coming. But he always, the answer he gave them, which was very nice, he said, if you have a question, it means you don't have an answer. So in that way, the conversation would begin.
Can you elaborate on that?
Well, many people come with questions. So they wanted to provide their own answers. But he said, wait, if you have a question, it means you don't have an answer. So are you asking me? So do you want an answer? So that was the key. Do you want an answer? Because Bhagavad Gita has the answer. So in this way, many bhaktas were made in New York City by Krishna's mercy, by Radha Govinda's mercy, by Radha Govinda's mercy. And so there's no question of letting such concerns fester inside oneself. He can go and ask. Here we have very nice devotees. You only have to go through the secretary's room and you can get entry into Panchagoda's office. And if he's not there, there's also the vice president. And then there's the senior brahmacharis. And then there are so many nice sannyasis. Why can't an answer be found very easily? It can, if one wants an answer. Sometimes this is the problem. We don't want the answer, we just want to gossip. It feels good to put other people down. Instead of trying to elevate myself, I can justify that, so many things are wrong, why should I make any unnecessary endeavor? Maybe they'll even quote some shloka, you know? Atihara priyasas cha. It's too much over-endeavor, Prabhu. But that over-endeavor is for things which are unnecessary, unneeded, unwanted. Any other questions, Maharaj? There's devotees there, if the mic can be passed back.
My true Krishna consciousness can be desired to have more life.
I simply want to serve him as long as there is breath in my body. It's not that I specifically, actually one has to be careful what he wishes for also. I have practical experience there. That we're practicing ahoitikiya pratiyata, unalloyed, unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service. That is our endeavor. Nothing conditional. So when we pray unconditionally. Not that, allow me to serve you in this capacity or that capacity. That is not unconditional. I like my service in Vrindavan, please keep me here forever. You know, it's a nice prayer, but that's not unconditional. We're a preaching movement all over the world. When, to take an example, Harikesh Prabhu was here, Prabhupada wanted him to go to Poland. And he said, no. Not once, but several times. And Prabhupada became quite angry. He literally had him escorted to the airport and put on the airplane.
Yeah.
So it cannot be. And he was saying, but Prabhupada, I'm your servant. I want to stay here. I want to serve you. So we have to be a little, how can you say, flexible in how the spiritual master will instruct us. It may not come exactly as one expects. But one has to be able to recognize it. Otherwise, he'll find himself in very, you know, sometimes you are asked to do a service and you may not really feel so keen on that. But where is that instruction coming from and who is asking? And is it for the right reason at the right time? One has to consider very carefully. Yes, this is Krishna maybe testing me to see how I will respond. Say, no, Krishna, I don't want this instruction. I don't want this order. I don't want this assignment. I only want assignments in this geographical location. No, it doesn't work like that. My association with Srila Prabhupada is very limited. But by his mercy, even such limited association, sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarva sastrakoi, lava mucha sadhu sangha, sarva siddhihoi, one gets great benefit. So we, fortunately, and this is another aspect of that, morning walks, everybody wanted to go on morning walks with Srila Prabhupada. But only a few people could actually be in the front of the morning walk and actually hear what's going on. Everyone else in the back is, you can't hear anything, you don't know what's going on, you're just chanting your japa, walking along, and that's nice. So, we were the servants, so we got to clean Srila Prabhupada's quarters. So in that sense, we had more association to dhyana with Prabhupada's paraphernalia, his remnants. How fortunate we are that there, sitting out in the open, Prabhupada's remnants, that we could just take, because we're the cleaners. Take the plate, go clean it, take the remnants. So this type of association I was eager for. I was very appreciative. Even at that time, I realized this for me, there was another aspect of association with the spiritual master. Prabhupada said, don't get too close to the spiritual master or the deity. Familiarity breeds contempt. So one has to be careful. But keeping oneself in the position of a servant, that is a very safe position. Because the servant has no expectations. He's just there, whatever the master says, he does. We're not concerned. This order, that order, whatever thing. So whether we were cleaning Srila Prabhupada's bathroom, and we took great satisfaction that I'm cleaning the bathroom of my guru. Whether anyone else wants to do it or not, I'm very fortunate to have this service. It doesn't appear to be very glorious. Bathroom cleaning, we know. People try to avoid it like the plague. But if you got that opportunity, who would not do it? So we were very grateful that we had these opportunities in many ways. One time, and Krishna always has a way of again, testing you. We were on the eve of the New York Rath Yatra. Prabhupada was getting ready to come into the airport. And we had made, of course, many arrangements. We were working 24 hours to finish his quarters. And booked a Lincoln limousine. Prabhupada liked Lincoln cars. Big American car, Lincoln. So we had this big stretch limo. And we went to go pick it up. And the man said, where's your credit card? And we're all brahmacharis at that time. We don't have credit card. But we had $2,000 cash. We thought that must be enough to cover it. They said, no. This is a $30,000 car. At that time, $30,000 car. Says, what's your $2,000 deposit going to do? That's nothing. They said, go away. So we said, what to do now? So that devotee in charge of that particular thing, he said, wait a second. But you're talking to me. He said, your father He has a new car. I said, yes. I said, we want to drive Prabhupada in my father's car. It was a Ford LTD, a big car, but you know, not a Lincoln, but it was a Ford. I said, okay. So off I went with my guy brother Hemanga, hopped on the subway, went to my house, knocked on the door after not having seen my father for probably, I don't know, maybe 2 years. In those days, we didn't go to our parents' house. Knocked on the door, says, Dad, I want to borrow the car to pick up Srila Prabhupada at the airport. He was like, okay, you have to have it back by tomorrow night, 11 p.m. Because he had things to do with it. So that was it. We took the car outside, right out, you know, in front of my old house and washed it thoroughly because, you know, it's not so clean. People are smoking in it, things like that. We got all our spiritual sky incense from Tiffany Place and burned it. Made the car smell nice and went back. And I parked the car in our garage. We had a big garage with the Rathiyatra carts. And put the key in my pocket, went upstairs. I was thinking, okay, I'm going to pick up Srila Prabhupada, because it's my car. I'm going to drive Srila Prabhupada from the airport tomorrow. So just before I went to take rest, my door opens, and Jayananda walks in. And Jayananda says, I heard you have your father's car to pick up Srila Prabhupada at the airport. And I could immediately sense that there was a punchline. And Jayananda said, I have to pick up Prabhupada at the airport. And I just looked at him and said, Jayananda, it's my father's car. He said, you're not on the insurance. I wasn't on the insurance either, but I had to try to come up with some excuse. But he wasn't. He said, and we were good friends. So you, with a friend, you can't argue. How can you argue? He's my senior. He's a good friend. I said, I can't believe you're asking me this. But so I gave him the keys, and he gave me the keys to another vehicle, which he was what is going to be driving, which was the second car. So anyway, long story short, Jayananda drove Srila Prabhupada in my father's car, and I had the pleasure and the honor of driving our godbrother Pradyumna and his good wife and their son, and that, you know. This is service, service to the devotees, service to the spiritual master. This type of service is very special. And who is to say, you know, obviously Jayananda deserved more to drive. He had things to discuss with Srila Prabhupada. The backstory was, the previous year, the Rathiyatra didn't go quite as expected. They had experimented with steel wheels. Normally we were building wooden wheels. But they experimented with steel wheels, and he had made the radial of the spokes too large, and the steel strap between the spokes too thin. So when the cart started to go, the span between the spokes flattened, and Prabhupada was on the cart. So the whole parade was bump, 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 bump. And Prabhupada was furious, furious. So Jayananda had a lot of explaining to do. Apologize, explain it. And he was telling Prabhupada that, no, we built the wheels. And of course, those wheels that we did build for the 76 Rathiyatra, there's a famous picture of Prabhupada coming down to the site. And the first thing he does is he goes up to the wheels and he touches them. And he looks at Jayananda. So anyway, very special pastimes. Any other questions? Oh, more questions.
The earlier question, frankly, was a superficial understanding.
Okay.
And I think your answer was a very humble Vaishnava response. And I'm talking about how much association with Prabhupada that you have. Prabhupada said right next to and you're completely an illusion.
Yeah.
And you can be hundreds of miles away and serving me nicely. You know, Vani and
Bhani. Mm-hmm.
So I think, knowing your history, you have served Prabhupada in a number of very difficult situations. I think you have ways of association, real association with Supergirl, but rather than just standing by and, you know, whatever.
No one should think that Prabhupada's mercy is not there. As we said, his eternal resting place is here, which was the alternate to the place he wanted, which was on top of the building on 55th Street. But anyway, Krishna has his plan. We all have plans. And this was Srila Prabhupada's ultimate plan. And that also had a very nice history. And that goes again back to that point, is that one has to be ready to accept the order when it comes. And in it, obviously, all success is there. And Prabhupada alluded to that, that all success is in the order of the spiritual master. If you accept that order. And, you know, going back to Hari Kesh Prabhu, when he went to Poland, begrudgingly, what happened? The biggest preaching in the movement at that time. The Iron Curtain fell. Who can deny? But Prabhupada's potency was with him. So this is there. If one has that faith, even if he's, you know, not 100%, but he does it. What was that other small aphorism? Prabhupada said, trying means doing. Trying means doing. Minimum words, maximum effect. If we say I'm trying, this is a little bit of a cop-out. Everybody can say that. Doing my best is a better answer. If it's the truth, I'm doing my best, not trying my best.
Doesn't any listening to a person has given everything, he has given darshan, he has given books, he has given us to stop the world. We have so much he has given us, so we should take according to our capacity and this one. But still we find sometimes that why is taking us somewhere else. So can you put some light on it?
The mind is taking you somewhere else? I think the Bhagavad Gita has that answer, from wherever and whenever. But this, the chanting with attention is the only solution, really. And that constant endeavor is what gives us the strength, because I have too much association with certain activities. But the fact is, this is like going to battle. Every day we're facing Maya. When a soldier goes to battle, he doesn't go with an empty gun. He has a full loadout. Every magazine is filled with bullets. So we don't go out to face Maya. We go out after we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, after we read, after we chant. Otherwise, if one is not doing these things, then how can he be effective? He's like a soldier without a gun or with an empty gun. He's useless. He's useless. So we don't want to be useless. We want to be useful. And for that, we have to prepare. Every single day, we have to prepare. I mean, now I see that they have very nicely these little machines, very popular. Every lecture of Srila Prabhupada is there. One can listen. I don't think there's enough hours in our remaining lifetime to listen to all the lectures on there, 2,200 lectures. Maybe there's enough. But we've listened to many of them, and we'll continue to listen, because every time we hear them, there's something fresh. This is the nature of transcendental. Nothing hackneyed. If you look at my phone, sometimes my wife, I don't know why wives do this, but they look at their husband's phone. So be careful. Okay? And she sees that I've listened to one lecture 5,000 times. So that's okay. 5,000 times. Just over the course of as long as I've had the phone. But I don't feel like, just like, you know, the karmis, you see a movie once or twice, maybe three times. Who wants to see it again? What's the need? But I can listen to Prabhupada's lectures forever and never be tired. Never feel that, why am I listening to this again? No, it doesn't. Everything is fresh. Everything is fresh. Any other questions? There's two questions. So one here, one there. Or who has the mic? Whoever has the mic has a question. Yes, Ru.
Thank you, Prabhu. In the course of the friend's expression, you mentioned the concept of ADHD, cooling down.
Fully dog.
Cooling down. So from the content of the Bhagavatam, cooling down, if you look at the real intention of Diti, is to put somebody down.
Oh, Vaditi. Prabhu's question is that if you look at the content here, it appears that Aditi is putting someone down. That at the expense of the demons, her sons will regain their rightful place. But this is, Prabhupada said in the purport, that this is natural, that the mother has affection for her son. I'm sure that on the opposite side, that the mothers of the demons are also saying. So it's a battle between the mothers. Whose mother will prevail? Who will follow the instructions anyway? Quicker? I don't know. Better? Prahlada Maharaj has an answer, maybe? He sees me floundering? No?
Srila Prabhupada said that even Krishna has discrimination.
Even Krishna.
When he comes, Purit
Vinaya. Sadhanam Bina Shaya Shadushkrita.
Comes and he protects his devotees, protects the demigods. They come to Allah, so Krishna is true Bhagavan. Swayam, Indriyane, Yakalam, Lokan, Riddhyan. He comes and protects Indra. He doesn't protect Kamsa and all the other demons. And he vanquishes the demons. And he reestablishes religious principles. So even Krishna has discrimination, what to speak of Diti or ourselves.
Thank you, Maharaj. Perfect answer. Actually, I was thinking when I was reading this purport, Prabhupada's poem, Vrindavan Bhajan. And there he expresses that where are all these people? What, previously, you have these relations, mother, father, son, daughter, aunts, uncles. They're only names on a list. Where are they? They're no longer there. They're just this phantasmagoria, this illusion that I am related to this person is such and such, this person is such and such. Ultimately, it comes to pass like that. And nobody is there anymore. Nobody is there. But Prabhupada exchanged that for Krishna's service. And his life was, who can say it? That was that fulfillment. We cannot measure it. We have no concept by which to understand. But yet he expresses himself in that prayer seemingly in a melancholy way. A very feeling prayer. I mean, it's hard to read without becoming emotional. Vrindavan Bhajan. Any other questions? Oh, yes. And then.
We have always seen that somebody wants to worship Krishna as his son. Somebody wants to worship, make Krishna his friend. So what if the devotee builds or wants Krishna as his wife? I've never seen anywhere in all the rumors that, because he is Adi Purusha. Is it wrong to, you know, want Krishna as a wife, or is it, you know, that's kept within Maya?
As a wife. You know, I'm sure in some universe, on some planet, in some living entity's mind, there's probably such a desire, but I have not heard. It's not one of the rasas. That's
maybe
Yeah.
I'm not calling men a dog, but there's so many things in the mind.
Yeah, in the mind, and that's why we have to discriminate. That's where discrimination comes in. Thank you, Maharaj. But the thought is there. See, because he had it.
Well, Lord Shiva had that thought. Lord Shiva had that thought, but he was unsuccessful.
Very good.
Okay, there was another question from somewhere, gentleman here, Prabhu here. Which lecture?
Can you repeat the question?
You heard this lecture 5,000 times. Which lecture was that? actually, I've listened to many of them 5,000 times. She just saw that one, but that was on the list. But my modus operandi was when I first was coming to service in Mayapur, I thought, let me download all of Srila Prabhupada's lectures that he's giving in Mayapur. Because time, place, circumstances, there's some context. He's speaking here. What is he saying? Not that I can understand what Prabhupada's thinking, but I can at least hear what he's saying and get some small appreciation. So all the lectures from Mayapur, and of course those two places where I was serving, was Mayapur and Vrindavan. So I downloaded all the lectures from Vrindavan. And there are many, very important. I can't stress and emphasize enough how important it is to listen to Srila Prabhupada's lectures. If I'm serving in Vrindavan, I should know everything he said, and whether the lectures, conversations, everything. Why would I not want to know? Otherwise, I'm half blind, you know, trying to do some service here when I don't know what the spiritual master was thinking or saying. And in the same, of course, now I'm in New York, but I'd already had and heard most of Srila Prabhupada's lectures in New York. But I do the same thing there. I just listen to them repeatedly. Because it's not always possible. Sometimes the mind is not completely focused. That's just the fact of life. And it's obvious because I'm listening to the same lecture and then all of a sudden, it's like I didn't hear that point before. But I've heard it 1,000 times, but that point didn't come. But now it's there. So it's the same with any transcendental literature, lecture. Depending on my situation, I am not so advanced, but maybe there's some incremental advancement, and then I listen to that lecture again, and that incremental advancement had the effect of now I'm hearing it slightly differently. With more appreciation, more understanding, maybe more surrender. And of course, we should want that. Ultimately, I can hear things exactly the way they should be heard, with their full context and purport. So that we should aspire for. Any other last lectures? Because now we're running over. One more question, not lecture. Next.
So I won't make noise that my question about monk life mostly was concerned about those people, those devotees who are not preaching. And in order to encourage them to have a monk life, they can preach and they're preaching they can have.
So you're saying that the devotees who are not preaching, that how to encourage them?
This is one way how to encourage devotees who are not preaching and preferring to live safely in some home or somewhere else. So they can, by preaching, they can get more life.
More?
they can by Krishna they can have more life.
More life.
Longer
life. See, I understood the question the first time also. That, yes, one can hope for a long life in the service of the spiritual master. If that is one's true desire, that I should serve 100%, then he has to demonstrate that here and now first, though. Because it's hoping for a long life, that thinking that in the future I'll do preaching, but not now, then that's just another cheating mentality. He has to already be engaged. What is the thought? Konteya pratijanihi namme pradashi. Krishna is already saying that my devotee never perishes. He's telling Arjuna to say it, because someone might not believe him. So we already know that what the practical guarantee is. But we also just don't think about it. I don't think that if I live or die in the next 5 minutes that this is consequential. This is what it is. And Preetu, you had some? We always want to hear.
Well, I was thinking that the movement, the version of the Lord's Kantayana, although it says clearly that we were Katadeva, but because for having the association of Krishna, therefore it makes sense.
Yes.
And so everyone can ask for no life, not for to enjoy like man, but to practice Krishna consciousness, to be as much service as possible. It has to be focused.
Yes, it has to be focused.
Why can't I worship him as the one?
We have to defer. Mataji has a question in the back. She's the only hand I saw, so. Please forgive me if I didn't see any other questions from that section.
Yes, ma'am. I just had a comment to make actually on the question that was asked this side. I can't see who asked. I don't know who asked. That's not relevant also. But when the question was asked about taking Krishna as a wife, it just occurred to me that anybody who thinks, no offense to anybody, the person who asked or anybody else sitting here, when you think of somebody as a wife, you're thinking yourself as a male, as a Purusha. And the only Purusha or male is actually Krishna. And we all are supposed to be enjoyed by him, whether we are in a female body or a male body.
Thank you very much. Very well said. Very good. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Krishna Balaram ki, yeah.